time wrong, this meeting is too short. This is too short. And it's just unbelievable. You know, when you get under a burden, I was sharing this with Brother Tim, you get under a burden for a meeting and stuff like that, sometimes it gets, the ball gets rolling pretty slow. But here it is already Thursday night. And buddy, I tell you what, I know it's the most recent, but this is the most sweetest day of the meeting it's been. Amen. At least for me. It's just been sweet all day long. And I understand. Let me commend you. You know, I do enough condemnation, but let me commend you. Because I know a lot of you men are out working and laboring so some of this can be possible, okay? And I appreciate that. And you couldn't take time off, so I appreciate you being out laboring and working and providing. And so thank God for you. But I tell you what, we just had a sweet, sweet service this morning. It was just, I mean, if you never heard Brother Tim dripping with honey, it was this morning, amen. All the time. I mean, it's just bees, hives, and everything. Amen. And so I tell you, just a sweet service. And then your pastor, Brother Asquith, got up and preached some. And I tell you, it was good. And I just really have enjoyed the prayer time. We had prayer time with the men. The prayer room was full. To God be the glory. And just had a sweet time going around the room and praying. And the Lord was just touching our hearts.
Amen.
And I tell you, I thank the Lord for it. And God has answered some prayers this week. Amen. There are people sitting in this room as a result. As Brother Stephen reminded us, there are people sitting in this room this week as a result of answered prayer.
Amen. Amen.
And I thank God for you. Amen.
Thank God.
You know, I think of the book of Hebrews. This is not where I'm going to take the message from, but the book of Hebrews, if I can remember where it's at. Talking about that refuge. Sometimes I... fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope that is set before him. I remember how to quote some of it, but I can't find the verse. Chapter 6. Which chapter?
Six.
There it is. That by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. You want to call God a liar? Say he can't change your life, so like some of these folks. You know, the Spirit of God has been working even in this song service. If you cannot see that, you are as blind as a bat. God has been dealing. Now, whether it's worldly sorrow or not, I cannot necessarily maybe discern that, but it don't have to be. Because there has been, the Spirit of God has been dealing with folks this week and drawing you to Jesus. And God cannot lie. It is impossible for him to lie. The Bible tells us here in this verse of Scripture that by two immutable things in which it is impossible, that it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. Amen. Brother Dan, what a blessing it is to have a strong consolation, amen, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Let me say tonight, you don't have to wait for some formal invitation or an invitation song to get right with God. My wife, years ago, got down between the pews, amen, because I'm serious. She could not, God smote her down, and she couldn't physically get to the altar when God dealt with her about her sins. And I'm talking about a person that it literally, when she got right with God, it tore a lot of people up. Because they said, surely she was saved. I'm sorry that I didn't have much discernment. I didn't know she was lost. I never suspected she was lost. But when she got down between those pews, couldn't even get to an altar, like Brother Haynes said. And I tell you what, she began to cry out to God, and God gave her heart faith.
Hey.
You know what she did? She lay hold on the hope.
Yes.
Amen.
You can't tell a person a certain way to get right with God. The Bible says, look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved. For I'm God, and there's none else. Sin's the issue. And when he dealt with them with that brazen serpent in the wilderness, and those serpents were biting them, and they were dying by the thousands because they had rebelled and murmured against the Lord. God said, Moses, you take that serpent, that brazen serpent, and set it upon a pole. And whosoever will look will live. You can get saved by looking. Looking to the right things. Amen. Hallelujah. I tell you what, Jesus has been lifted up during these services. Amen. All day long. Praise God. You say, well, Brother McVeigh dealt with this on how we ought to walk. Amen. That's Jesus being lifted up.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But I tell you what, listen, Pastor Askwoods, I'm glad I'm here. If it's the last time I'm ever here, I'm glad I got to come to this meeting. I'm not scheduling for next year, amen, because I'm planning on being in heaven. Amen? But I am glad I'm here this year. I'm glad to be. I have a special announcement. I love Jesus. And Jesus loves me. Amen. Hallelujah. It's good to be saved. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter number 9 tonight. 2 Samuel chapter number 9. One of the most wonderful pictures of the grace of God is found in our text tonight in 2 Samuel chapter number 9. Oh, how I praise him. Oh, how I thank him. He is so wonderful to us. And I'm glad to report to you that there is a Savior that can change your life for time and eternity. You don't have to leave this meeting unchanged tonight. You don't have to walk out those doors and spurn the grace of God. Your life, your heart, your direction, your appetites, thank God, everything, your devotion, everything about you could be changed tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. That's amazing, but I have wanted it. Brother McVeigh, he said, you know, you might preach in the morning. I don't even have a voice to preach tonight, amen. I just don't, man. I overdid it last night. I got overwrought. But I'm going to tell you one thing, friend. I thought about preaching on, you know, Christian character and Christian living. I mean, I've been wanting to get to that, but God won't let me get to it. He's been pressing me in the spirit, amen, about throwing out the lifeline, throwing out the...
Thank God.
Amen.
He's throwing it out, buddy.
Amen.
And so if there is two sides to the coin, and there is, there's always a negative and a positive. If God will help me tonight, I am going to give you what you would call, or most people call, the positive of this matter about salvation. Mm-hmm. Because I tell you what a beautiful, beautiful picture there is in the truth. I call it a truth. It's not a story. It's not fabrication. The truth about Mephibosheth. Thank God. Let's stand out of respect and reverence for the Word of God if you're physically able to do so. Verse number 1, 2 Samuel chapter 9. And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And the Bible says, and when he called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the Bible says, and the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar. Then King David sent and fetched him. That's a good country word, ain't it?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. You Yankee smile about that. Amen. And fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. In verse number 6, now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, behold thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father. And thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Amen. Hallelujah. Can you imagine what a spread that was? Buddy, I tell you, I've been feasting. Nathan, I've been feasting for 30-some years at the king's table.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. I think of that what we call the prodigal. Many of our Bibles, amen, will have that heading, the prodigal, there in Luke chapter 15. And he went out into a far country. And I don't want to get sidetracked. I got so many things racing through my mind. He went out in that far country. But when he come back, amen, and that father was looking for him the whole time. And by the way, he's looking for you tonight. He's looking for you tonight. And I'm going to tell you what, friend, I believe he was making preparations. He was making preparations, Brother Sam, the whole time for that son to come back. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to tell you one thing, friend. When he spread that table, what a spread, what a spread. The fatted calf. But here's what the problem is. You're settling for the husks of the world.
Right.
You're settling for pig food when you could have the fatted calf. Praise God. You think what a table was spread for this servant, Mephibosheth. And the Bible says here in verse number 8, and he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's sons all that pertaineth to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that the Lord, my lord the king, hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young man, whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, and did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet. Father, we ask you now to help us. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you would save the lost. I don't have to really even ask you to do that. I don't know why preachers say that. That's your will. That's your will to save the lost. And so, Lord, I ask you, Lord, to help us, Lord, tonight. Lord, I pray that you touch us and help us revive the saints of God. Lord, as we've already been encouraged to do, and people have already been getting involved, may we rejoice in the good grace of God. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I want to preach with the help of the Lord tonight on this thought: grace that is greater than our sin. Grace that is greater than our sin. 2 Samuel chapter number 9 is certainly a lovely picture, Brother Vadis, of salvation by the good grace of God. It tells us, number one, what grace is. What grace is? What is grace? Grace is simply kindness to a helpless one for another's sake. Sinners are helpless. Sinners are hopeless. Sinners can't get to God. You are barred from God because your sin, we heard the other night, has separated between you and your God. But grace, amen, is kindness to a helpless one for another's sake, amen. Here in verses 1 through 3, we find that David wanted to show kindness to somebody for Jonathan's sake, amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad one day I found out, amen. Listen, I couldn't be saved by my goodness. I couldn't be saved by my good works, but thank God I'm glad I could be saved for Jesus' sake. Amen. I'm not saved for Rose's sake. I'm saved for Jesus' sake. Amen. Hallelujah to God. Amen. The Bible says, Romans 5, 6, and when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Hey, listen to me. Sinner friend, I've got good news for you. Christ has already died. Yeah. He's been buried. He rose again according to the scriptures. And by the way, he died for you. There ain't nobody in this sanctuary tonight that Christ didn't die for.
That's right.
You say, you better watch it, amen. Don't you believe in certain people being elect, amen. Listen, you'll find out from God if you get saved, you're in the elect. How you like that, amen. That's exactly right. Amen. You are in the elect when you get saved by the grace of God. You think it takes God by surprise, Bro Tim, when you got right with God? No, I don't believe a word of that. And that's, listen, all that is a security doctrine to the believer. There is no such thing as an elect sinner. Show it to me in the King James Bible. Show it to me publicly. Stand up and refute that. But I'm going to tell you, friend, there's no such thing as elect sinner, but it's a security doctrine. Election, predestination, all those doctrines are a security doctrine that when I found out about it October 3rd, 1989, but God already knew about it. And I said, whoa, hallelujah. Thank God he's loved me with an everlasting love. He didn't just start loving me when I showed up August 3rd, 1970. He started loving me a long time before that, buddy. And I tell you what, that gets the wheel turning in the wheel. I'm glad Jesus loves me. Ain't you glad for that? Amen. Hey, it's kindness to the helpless one for another's sake. The Bible says here, and he had made him, 2 Corinthians 5:21, he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Yes.
What a blessing. You know what that means? That means substitution. You deserve to die, but even if you could die for your sins, it made no difference. The Bible says even some would dare to die. But I'm going to tell you, friend, there was only one person that could die for sin, the spotless, darling Lamb of God. Amen. When John stepped out on the scene, he was the forerunner. He stepped out on the scene and went down the banks of Jordan. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the
all, and I ain't got time, amen. I'm trying to preach about 10 messages. I traced and preached on that lamb all the way through. I thought about preaching that. Exodus chapter 12. Amen. Hallelujah.
I want to do that. I really want to ask you this tonight from Exodus. Amen.
Listen, friend, talk about a lamb, the lamb, and your lamb.
That's right, man. Yeah. That's good.
It ain't going to do no good until you get one personally.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Some of you just know about a lamb. Some of you know about the lamb. Thank God there's been some people testifying this week. It's your lamb. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The blood's been shed. Amen. It's on the lintel. It's on the doorpost of my heart. Amen.
Amen.
Don't mock us, amen, for getting happy about the Lord.
Amen.
I notice, amen, everybody around here is Buffalo Bills fan. Oh, yes. Amen. They're flying the flags. Amen. I think there's more, amen, Buffalo Bill flags, amen, this part of New York than there's American flags. Amen. Certainly more than that is Confederate flags. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, amen. Listen, friend, you don't have no problem with them shouting and hollering when they run up and down a field, a green grassy field with zipped up hair. Amen. But you have a real problem with people shouting in church. Amen.
That's right.
I'm going to go everywhere and tell these Yankees up here in New York, they shout. Amen. Believe it or not. Amen. Hallelujah. You got something to shout. You got something to shout about. Grace and kindness to a helpless one for another's sake. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Ain't it wonderful to be saved by grace? Amen. What grace is, kindness to a helpless one for another's sake. Number two, grace gives the highest place. So, Brother Haynes, everybody say to you, this might be an encouragement to you. There ain't no big eyes and there ain't no little use.
That's right.
Because grace always gives the highest place. Grace always elevates.
Amen.
Now, and some people need to elevate it a little farther. But I'm not going to preach on that. I said I wasn't. Amen. Hallelujah. Chapter 2. They need to elevate it a little farther. Let grace teach them some things. That's what these men were trying to do in this morning service. But I'm going to tell you, thank God, there ain't one single thing. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to tell you one thing. Thank God. When God saves somebody by the grace of God, He never leaves them where they're at.
Amen.
He always elevates them and gives them the highest place. That's what He did to Mephibosheth. That's what He did to Mephibosheth. Look where He found him at. Amen. And God took him, amen, and through the King David, He elevated him, Brother Peter. Hey, I'm trying to reason with you tonight. That's what God wants to do for you. You say, well, God is using the word of God to hammer on my sin. But God wants to show you, He wants to elevate you in grace and elevate you in Jesus Christ and put you in a family that really loves you.
Right.
God's family is the best family in the world.
That's
right. Amen. Hallelujah. You say, well, they have their faults and they have their failures. I'd still say, Brother John, God's people is the best people I know. God's people have been good to me since 12. Amen. I mean, it's a kissing church. I mean, the right people. They let you kiss the right people. They let you only kiss the right people. She's papered.
Don't talk about it.
And I've been out having shots. I mean, it's a good thing to feel like that. Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. God's people is some of the best people in the world. Because God, when He saves them, He elevates them to the highest place. Amen. Look over here in the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Hallelujah. I'll just preach as long as I can. Amen. If I get tired, I'll quit. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 1. Amen. I appreciate Brother Morey. They said he preached about 3.5 hours. Amen. Listen, I'd have a stroke if the way I go. Amen. If I preached 3.5 hours, I would have a stroke. Amen. 2 hours now. And I used to do that all the time. Preach for hours on. I'd average 1.5 hours preaching every time. Amen. Got so fat I can't preach anymore. Amen. Hallelujah. But Lord, help us. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are in Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him. Now don't let this scare you. Before the foundation of the world. Now again, these doctrines are security doctrines. They're not something to divide over and get weird about. Amen. He loved me before the world ever began. Amen. Listen, sinner friend, you're on his mind.
Amen.
Well, right, man. Amen. You know, I think about Brother Stephen. You ever get low, and sometimes you fellas might get low because of maybe the lifestyle. And listen, friend, listen, that's the reason we preach hard against sin. I'm going to tell you, sometimes the lifestyle we live, I'm going to tell you, the devil can pull us down in the depths, amen. But I'm going to tell you, this may help you a little bit, hallelujah. When God saved you by the grace of God, you're on his. Hey, the Bible says he's engraving you in the palms of his hand, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah, amen.
Amen.
You stand that high priest and those gems and rubies in his breastplate represented the 12 tribes of Israel, man. What do you think our great high priest, what do you think he has on his breastplate closest to his heart? Hallelujah. I believe it's the church, amen. Hallelujah. I believe it's the saved. I believe it's God's people. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. The Bible says, according to that he has chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. That's what he's predestinated us to the adoption of children, by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Amen. Whoa! Look what grace has gone and done. Amen. Brother Maury, when he got saved, got in the big family. Listen, friend, he accepted you. The world may not have accepted you. Amen. Your friends may have been, it may have been very odious to them. But hallelujah, you found a friend that sticks closer than a brother, Brother Ron.
Hallelujah. Thank God.
Amen. Woo. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, buddy, it makes you want to, I about sometimes go berserk.
No.
Amen. I really do. Hallelujah. I have to control myself. Take me. Now you understand. Amen. Hallelujah. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. Amen. Sounds like God elevates us. I won't take the time, amen. But the Bible says you have been quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. But the Bible tells us, amen, this thing begins to change. Verse number 4. But God,
amen,
who is rich. What are you rich in? What are you rich? What's God rich in? I'm telling you, sinner, he's rich in mercy. He's
tell you what makes me old. I tell you what, listen, sometimes I, amen, hallelujah. I know I can't right now. I love him. I love him. I love him because he first loved me. Hallelujah. I tell you what a Savior. What a Lord he is. Amen. He's wonderful. He's marvelous. It is a miracle, Brother John. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a miracle not only it saved us, but he'd still love us after we're saved.
Amen.
It's a miracle. I'm not making excuses for anybody's sin, but when I think of how bad I've been since I've been saved, and Brother Samuel, he still loves me. Hallelujah. He always gives the highest place. Send a friend, listen to me tonight. When God saves you, he has no intention of leaving you where you're at. He's way over yonder. Hallelujah. But this week he's come down and made himself manifest.
Yeah.
Brother Tim's been encouraging us. And I'm going to tell you what, when you encourage people literally that love the Lord to praise him, I tell you what, I tell you what I say and I'll do. When you praise him and thank him, he'll come down and pay you a visit. Yeah. Hallelujah. He'll pay you a visit, son.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Hang tight, Trevor. Amen. Praise God. That's right. It always gives the highest place. Amen. Praise God. And then I want you to notice, amen, grace is what keeps the saved one. That's what keeps the saved one's grace. I'm saved by grace through faith. Now, that don't give me a right to live any way I want to. You say, well, if I believe that, I'd live any way I want to. I am. Since I've been saved, to God be the glory, and don't take this out of context. People take one thing I say and run with it. Amen. That's why I use that to record myself. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what, I drunk all the beer I wanted to drink since I've been saved. I smoked all the cigarettes I wanted to smoke since I've been saved. Amen. And why? Because grace, amen. Hallelujah, he'll keep you, he'll change you.
Yes,
he'll teach you some things, hallelujah. And I'm thankful, amen. He'll keep you, I'm saved, by the grace of God. And Brother Sam, Brother Stephen, I'm kept by the grace of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And you see all this through this wonderful picture of the grace of God in 2 Samuel chapter number 9. Amen. The Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You mean God can really give you a salvation like that that'll change your life for time and eternity and keep you forever? Amen. His love. And you know what I'm saying? I've been in a family. I've been put out of a family. I've been rejected by a family. Listen, I've sold loved ones. Try me and use me up. And my friends walk out on me. Amen. I'm telling you about one. Amen. That'll never walk out. Listen, he said, I'll never leave thee, never forsake thee. Amen.
Amen.
I'll go with you all the way, even into the end of the world.
Amen.
Jesus. I told him, God, I'm going. They'd say, no, that means to the end of the age. I said, listen, in the English Bible, it says, the end of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not trying to be smart. I ain't smart. Amen. I'm going to tell you one thing, friend. When I was in Bible school, when they get out that blue book, you know what? He knows what the blue book is. Amen. You know that Greek thing. Amen. Hallelujah. I said, I ain't no Greek. Amen. I don't make a good English feller, amen, but I ain't no Greek, amen. I'm Greek this Bible. I can't read nothing in here, amen.
Right.
In this little book, amen. That little Greek New Testament, amen. Hallelujah. I think I'll stay with the King James. I think I'll stay with the black back. The black back book, and they can have the blue book, amen. I'll stay with the black book, amen. That King James Bible. They told me in Pensacola, maybe you ought to go across, because Mr. Ruckman was still alive. Then they said, when I was at Pensacola, they said, maybe you ought to go across there, amen. I said, well, listen, friend, I didn't know a thing about any of that. Amen. But I said, well, if y'all don't believe the Bible around here, maybe I should, amen. 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 Pensacola Christian College. I'm well-rounded, educated fella, amen. I just don't preach like it, amen. 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 But hey, I believe this Bible, amen. I believe what it says, that every word of God is true, amen.
Amen.
Praise his wonderful name. Amen. I done wore myself out on the introduction, amen. I got an introduction for this message, amen. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, I done wore myself out on that, amen. I want to point out a few things, amen, and I'll be through, about Mephibosheth and how he's a picture of the grace of God. First of all, I want you to notice in verse number 3, I want you to notice in 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse number 3, notice his lameness. His lameness, amen. His lameness. The Bible tells us in verse number 3, and the king said, is there not any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. Amen. Now I'll tell you how this man got lame. He was lame by a fall. He was lame by a fall. Look in your Bible, 2 Samuel chapter number 4 and verse number 1. You realize, during this time, when different kings fell to the wayside and other kings come to the forefront, amen, what you would do to guard your throne, you would kill all the lineage of the former king. You would kill all the lineage of the former king, amen, so nobody would ever usurp your throne. And so that's kind of the background of what we're talking about here in 2 Samuel chapter 4. And when Saul's son heard that Abner was dead in Hebron, his hands were feeble and all the Israelites were troubled. And Saul's son had two men that were captain of bands. The name of one was Baanah and the name of the other was Rechab, and the sons of Rimmon of the Berathite of the children of Benjamin. And Beeroth also was reckoned to Benjamin. And the Beerothites fled to Gideon and were sojourners there until this day. Now notice this. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame on his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass that when she made haste to flee, that he fell and he became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth became lame by a fall. Let me say, every one of us represented in this room, everybody in the state of New York, everybody in the Northeast, everybody in the Southeast, everybody in America, everybody in the world has been lamed by a fall. That fall that Adam took and he partook of that forbidden fruit that God told him and rebelled against God. He thought he knew better, young lady, than to take what God had said in Genesis chapter 3 and said, you were not to eat of that fruit. And the Bible says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, Jacob, because all have sinned. We're lame by a fall. Mephibosheth was a cripple. And every one of us that are in the human race, Brother Ronnie, Brother Nick, are lame and crippled by sin. Amen.
That's why the world's a mess, friend. It's because of sin.
That's why your life is a mess. It's because of sin.
Amen.
Now you may be sitting here self-righteous, and you say, "Well, I have no sins." You're like the Pharisees. Sins, what talking about? We've committed no sins, amen. And listen, Jesus tried to show them, and we heard from our pastor today as he was preaching and teaching, amen, they created some of the greatest sins. They were men that were full and vile and full of dead man's bones, just like whited sepulchers. So you can be clean on the outside and filthy on the inside. See, we're lame by fall. We're lame by fall. The Bible tells us, amen, as it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they've used to see. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. We're lame by fall. You're lame by fall because of your birth. Nobody's born a Christian.
That's right.
I don't care.
That's right.
Yeah. Focus, focus. I'm not trying to necessarily mock.
Right.
Amen. I'm going to tell you, friend, I don't care what religious ritual you've been through. Amen. That's not going to cure your problem.
And that's right.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm not going to go to some knot here behind a knot hole, amen, and confess my sins to him. That's exactly right. I wonder what sins he's been involved in. Well, I took a vow of celibacy, amen.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you one thing. I ain't going to get into all that, amen, but I'm going to tell you one thing, friend. Listen, the devil has made religion and purdied it up with ornaments.
Right.
I went down to New Mexico and preached years ago and watched literal Brother John, Brother Vadis, literal sewer running through the ditches, amen. And then you go into those churches, amen, and walls, the back wall, solid gold. I said, these people are being hoodooed. Same way in Honduras. Amen. Oh, when I went and preached in Russia, when Perestroika took place, amen, and seen them Russian Orthodox churches, amen. The devil, if you're not careful, he ornaments religion, amen. Somebody said that the devil was cast out of heaven, amen, and fell in the choir loft, amen. Might be some truth to that, amen. Listen, the only one that can cure your sin problem is the Lord Jesus. Because you're crippled by a fall. You're vile. You're filthy. You're ungodly. You're unholy. You can't merit God's favor. You can't do good enough. Amen. None of us. I'm not just saying you, me, anybody cannot do enough good works to please God.
Amen.
And so I'm not going to heaven on my own merit. I'm going to heaven because I realized one day I'd been crippled by a fall, Sister Vadis. And hallelujah, I knew the only one that could help me was Jesus. That's the only one that could help me. Amen. The Bible says, as is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's nothing wrong with quoting those scriptures.
That's right.
Amen. I didn't feel the Spirit get grieved last night. But listen, friends, sometimes We've got some nasty nights. Amen. My wife felt led last night. And listen, she's a spirit-filled woman. And I'm not saying nobody grieved the spirit or I felt a bad spirit. Let me just clear this up right now. She felt led to read some scripture to my son. He's struggling. He's struggling. What's wrong with that? Y'all don't believe in reading the Bible around here?
We like it.
I'm telling you, Titus, it's not what family you're born in. You're already born in the wrong family. Because you're born in Adam's family. And sin was passed on to every man, woman, boy, and girl. And you're not terrible. You're not a sinner just because of who you are or what you do. That's what you are as a sinner.
Amen.
Some churches, amen, they wait for you to preach and put them in some sin category. Smoking, weed, doing meth. I don't know why anybody wants to ingest Drano. I'm just saying, amen. But listen, it happens all the time. But I'm going to tell you one thing, friend. They wait for you to put them in some sin category, or they go out and try to manufacture some sins so they really think they're a bad sinner. I'd rather somehow, young lady, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, grip your heart.
Yes,
before
sir.
You ever got out and sinned.
Yes, hallelujah.
Before you ever have the scars.
Amen.
And show you your need for the Lord Jesus. Why? You've been crippled by a fall. That's why.
That's right.
That's it.
You've been crippled by a fall. Amen. His lameness. Lame by sin. Lame by shame. Lame by suffering. Sin always brings suffering, remorse. I mean, some people, buddy, Brother Dan, they act like big men. Sin don't bother me, amen. But you don't see the sleepless nights.
Right.
You don't see the broken hearts. You don't see their mate being beat to a pulp. And the anguish that it's bringing to a family. Because it brings shame and remorse, amen. And listen, if I could spare one young person this week from going down that awful track.
Amen.
Some of you say, I'm not talking about indecent, being indecent. I'm not talking about that. But I'm going to tell you, if God leads you to testify and warn these kids, amen, they don't have to go there, amen. We've all been crippled by a fall. But if God leads you to testify, tell them, warn them, amen. Because sin brings shame.
Amen.
His lameness. Verse number 4, we see his leanness. His leanness. Verse number 4, 2 Samuel chapter number 9. The Bible says, and the king said unto him, where is he? Speaking of this son of Jonathan. And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel in Lodibar. Amen. See, he was in the house of Machir. The word Machir has to do with being sold. And that's how we are. We're all sold under sin. What you don't realize, you say, well, I got freedom, buddy. I can do what I want to do. You know, most of the women's lives took place. And us women have got our freedom now. We can do what we want to, raise our fists in the face of God and everything else in front of the Bible. And we can do what we want to do. But what you don't realize, amen, you ain't got freedom.
That's right.
You're in bondage.
That's right.
Excuse me, ma'am.
That's right.
I appreciate you bringing these. Didn't know I was going to use them all week. You're under bondage.
Yes. Right. That's right.
You're the servant.
Yep.
The devil's the master.
Yep.
Right, man.
Yep.
All of us, they're not saying, are sold under sin. You say, I want to do better. Without God's help, you can't. Let me say this, be real clear. If you could stop it all, you're not going to be any better. You're just going to grow worse.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with repentance. Stop your drinking. Stop your fornicating. Separate from your girlfriend. Separate from your boyfriend.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you, you're never going to change until God changes your heart.
Yeah.
Because you're under bondage.
Yeah.
And the devil's got you. Whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin.
That's right.
Amen.
You're in the house of nature. He's sold. He's a slave. He's down there in Lodibar. It's a place of no pasture, no bread.
And the devil will sell you a bill of goods and say, why don't you come my way? I'll make you popular. I could not tell you the flip side of a billboard of that. You're seeing this sensuously clad woman. Listen, this beautiful as far as physical beauty, and she's there smoking a cigarette or drinking some Jack Daniels or some other alcoholic beverage, amen. But you give that thing 10 years, and you see where that leads.
Yeah, that's right.
See the illegitimate children. See the broken life.
Yeah. Come on.
The devil, I want to say the devil is a liar.
Yes, he is.
He is a cruel taskmaster.
Yes, he is.
The devil, let's be real clear about this, the devil hates you.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
That's right.
He knows, like I said last night, you're created in the image of God. He hates everything.
Mm-hmm.
He hates you, Sam. That infernal being will do everything he can to trip you up, to scar your life, to damn your soul, because he's got many people in the slave market of sin.
Yes, sir.
Oh, brothers, I don't believe that. I'm free to do what I want to do. You can't stop, can you?
That's right.
That's right.
You can't stop. You just can't.
That's right.
You know, well, I'll put this away, and I'll quit. You know, laying and you know and laying in beds, amen. But you know, I mean,
that's just, right.
Yeah, I mean, it's just. I mean, you just. You cannot stop it until the flesh will eat you alive. Listen, when you're in bondage and you're sold under sin, amen, you are literally a slave.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
No bread, no pasture. And that's where this all leads to. You get sold under sin. And then the devil leaves you high and dry, Brother Dan.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Right. Yeah.
Broke.
Yeah.
Bloodied. Bleeding. Battered. And he laughs at you.
Yes,
sir.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, there's a better way.
Yes, sir.
And it's God's way. And you know, the devil, I'm not, you know, I used to think, Brother John, when I would read Chick Tracks, and I'm not for all that, amen, but I used to think about them little devils, you know, it said, but I'm going to tell you, I'm not so sure there ain't some truth to that.
That's right.
About that.
We'd be surprised, ma'am, sir, we'd be surprised, amen, the spiritual warfare that's going to be going on this week. Tracks, anyway, and the little devil's going. He don't want you to listen to the Word of God. He knows the power of the Word of God.
Amen.
Yeah, he knows that.
Amen.
Amen.
Tries to distract you, get your mind off of it. You get hung up on my mannerism.
Go ahead.
You know, just get all offended. He's got his face saying, but I think he never probably is big boy. I think he can take care of himself.
That's right.
Man, I'm telling you what, the devil's wicked.
Oh, yeah.
When the devil gets through, son, when the devil gets through, sir, I tell you what he'll do. After he gets through being your taskmaster, he'll leave you in mother bar.
Right.
Oh. I said that God always elevates. Grace always elevates. Amen. The devil always degrades.
That's right.
The devil always takes you down.
Go ahead, brother.
And he'll take you down if you're not careful to hell.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Then I want to point out another thing about his leanness. And this is important. I remind you, he was in the wrong family. Mm-hmm. He wasn't in David's family. Mm-hmm. He was an enemy of the king. Let's be real plain. Go ahead and pray, Brother Nick. When you're not saved by the grace of God, you are the enemy of the king.
Right.
You're against him. You're on opposing sides. Well, Brother Rose, you don't understand. I'm kind of in a neutral gray area. There is no neutral gray area.
That's right.
You're either for him or you're against him.
Yep.
You're either saved or you're lost.
Yep.
You're either in or you're out.
That's right.
There is no middle ground.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, when that day, that knock come on his door, his tent, whatever it was, wherever he's at, he's in a low estate. I mean, he probably ain't in a ritzy house, swank hotel. Amen. Wherever he's at, he got the summons from the king. He says, oh no. You sound me. It's kind of like a pitcher conviction.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
Right.
Yeah.
Be gone from the body. It shows up inside you.
Amen.
You've been hiding from him all your life. You've been under the veneer. You've been under the facade. You may even have robes, so-called your own self-making and righteousness. That day, the summons from the king comes.
Hallelujah.
You have great consternation.
Oh, my.
I have been found out.
I'm so glad.
I'm exposed.
Hey.
But he had a message.
Yeah.
He had a message for old Mephibosheth.
Yes, sir.
Notice not only his lameness, his leanness, but notice his liberty. His liberty. The king sent, verse 5, and fetched him out of the house of Machir. And the son of Amiel from Lodibar, he didn't leave him where he was at. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake. Listen, did you get that? He was showing kindness for another's sake. Jonathan is a picture of the Lord Jesus. I'm not saved because of my goodness. I'm not even staying saved because I dress right and I spit white. I'm not saved because of any of those things. I'm saved for another's sake, and it was Jesus' sake. That's why I'm saved.
Amen.
That's what I glory in.
Oh, yes.
Man, I'm nothing. Miss Stephanie, I am nothing without him. I am less than nothing without him. But thank God, God has given me everything, Sister Cassiola, in Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, riches beyond compare. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says in verse 7, and David said to him, fear not,
For I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake. You say, why was that? Why was that? I'm closing now, or I'm trying to, buddy. I can't, I'm bringing wet. I need a shower. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But I tell you what, you know why? This blesses my soul, amen. You know why that all transpired and happened? Because years ago, David and Jonathan had made covenant. They made covenant, amen. And Jonathan said, he believed what God had said. He believed the anointing that David had. And he said, one day, you are going to be king, Nathan, in the room of my father. But we'll make covenant together. And let's make a covenant that you'll not slay all my kin, amen. Ain't you glad you're not an old country fella?
Yes,
hallelujah. Hot cornbread soup, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Fight back.
Yes, sir.
Mommy, amen. She's a wonderful, wonderful cook, amen. Hallelujah. She's going to season the beans with the fat back. When we first got married, I said, oh, no, Mama. You cut, praise God. Wait a minute, amen. You cut that up and fry it. Amen. Then you eat on them cracklings. Wonderful. Hallelujah. Amen. But I tell you what, thank God. Listen, friend, because of the covenant that Jonathan and David had made one day. And that's the only reason. You know why? In spite of all of our sins, Brother John, that God could look early in mercy and grace. It wasn't that he saw anything good about us or anything good about us but Jesus, Brother
Tim.
Yes,
sir.
But God one day made covenant with his son. And listen, friend, before the foundation of the world, there wasn't no search made through heaven. It sounds from the mountains, but you could overlook us mountain folk. I mean, you folks are from Philadelphia, and you're not from the mountains, amen. I'm from the mountains, and that's mountain folk, that's mountain preachers, and sometimes we preach all in the And they say, well, there was a search made through heaven, amen, and Moses wasn't good enough, and Elijah wasn't good enough to come and bear the sin. There was no search made through heaven.
That's right.
The Bible says there was a lamb underneath the altar.
Amen.
From the very foundation of the world.
That's it.
And God made covenant with his son, amen. Praise God, amen. I'm so glad, Brother Ronnie, amen, that he came to bear our sin in his own body, Brother Sam, on the tree, amen. He did that. The reason God can save us in spite of our wicked, ungodly sins is because God's pleased with everything his son's done.
Amen.
That's
amen.
And when God looks at you, here's what the old devil brother, what about this and what about that and look what he did before and all that. But you know what God's looking at? He's looking at John Mark.
Amen.
And he's not seeing John Mark, he's seeing Jesus.
That's it.
What? He's seeing Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yep, that's right.
Thank God.
You just remind me of that, amen.
That's right.
And when I get low, you remind me of that, amen. That's exactly right. I'm telling you, listen, I'm not a very good preacher, but I tell you what, I want to stop right here and say he's a wonderful Savior.
Amen.
And he'll save you by the grace of God. You don't have to go on in the chains of your sin and down in Lodibar. God can save you because he's got grace that's greater than our sins. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible tells us about the king's call. The king sent and fetched him out of the house of nature. And I like this. Amen. The king's compassion. Verse number 7. The Bible says, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake. And listen, friend. Jacob, that's the reason I'm saved tonight. It's because of Jesus. It's because of God's grace that I'm saved tonight. All of us in this room tonight are wretched, awful sinners.
Yes.
You say you paint it bleaker than it is. I'm not talking about what you do, because some of you might be kind of self-righteous here. But as God sees you, you're awful sinners. Since you're guilty, I've preached it here before, since you're guilty of the murder of Jesus, he didn't die for his sins, he died for your sins. Right. Since you're guilty of the murder of Jesus, you're a terrible sinner. It was your sins that nailed the Son of God to the tree.
That's right.
Not his, yours. Mine. The king's compassion. But listen, after he got him up there to his house and his palace, buddy, what a switch, what a change. What a change. You think about that. I tell you what, you listen to me, dear sister, we're going somewhere. Amen. If the, in this life only we got hope in Christ, we're all men most miserable. I want to give people a message of hope. Not a false message, but a message of hope. We're going somewhere, friend. When he got him up there to the palace, you know what he began to do with him? He began to commune with him. He not only gave him a call, he not only showed him his compassion, but he began to commune with him. The Bible says in verses 7 and 10 of our text, he said, "Thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." Amen. It's quite different from Lodabar. No bread, no pasture. Now he's sitting at the king's table, Brother Vadis, and he's got sustenance continually.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Buddy, I tell you what, services like this, as sweet as it's been all day today, I'm like Brother John. I can't do it like Brother John. He was describing how, you know, some people take communion, amen. I can't describe it like that. Makes people laugh, amen. Amen. But I tell you what, I just ingest this stuff. I mean, it's just food for the soul.
Yes, sir.
Amen. What a sweet place to be, amen. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own.
Amen.
I preached my singing voice away years ago, amen. Hallelujah. Listen, friend, you look at the blessings, you look at the benefits, you look at the benevolence. What's benevolence? It's an act of kindness. You look at the benefactor, and really that's key. The King, the Lord Jesus, King Jesus. You look at the benefactor, amen. And listen, how he came down, he condescended. You know of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that how he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that we, through his poverty, might be made rich. And I like what it says in 2 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 13. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. I'm not going to labor long on this. Amen. We're saved by the grace of God, but it's a picture of our flesh.
Amen.
I'm saved completely. Brother John, what little bit I know about the Bible, but what I know, you'd have a hard time changing me on it.
Amen.
Sometimes, amen, I wouldn't change just because, you know, I'm stubborn, and I think that's how the Lord made me.
I like it.
But I'm telling you what, listen, I've been saved by the grace of God. I've been saved eternally, Brother Zane.
Uh-huh.
And God changed my life by the good grace of God.
Yes.
And I still got a fleshly nature.
Mm-hmm.
And that damn nature. Now, God ruled the body dead, man. He ruled the body dead. When you got saved, he circumcised. I'm not going to go into all that. Amen. He circumcised me, and he cut. He gave me a new nature, and he ruled the body dead. But I still live in a fleshly body. And even though I'm saved and sit at the king's table, many times my lameness, not the old life, but my flesh, unfortunately takes control.
Oh.
And I failed the grace of God. But he's so merciful. He's so wonderful. If we'll confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 12 says, look at verse 12 in closing. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. I believe when Mephibosheth saw his condition and saw what the king done for him and what grace can do for a sinner, I believe he had this son and he named him lauding and praising the Lord. That's what the word Micah means. He was giving praise to the Lord. We got a lot to praise God for.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. I'm not, by the grace of God, I don't want to ever get over it. We look at his lameness, his leanness, what he brought us from. Thank God we can rejoice in the liberty because grace is greater than our sin. Brother John?
Good. Got a couple young people here praying. I like what he said when he said this. He's drunk every beer he's wanted to drink since he's been saved. Smoked every cigarette he ever wanted to smoke. You know how many he wanted to drink? None. You know how many cigarettes he wanted to smoke? None. I could train a dog to sit still in the house, not jump up. I've seen a dog trained where you put food in front of it and it'll sit there forever until somebody says, okay. But it never changed the nature of that dog.
See it?
Didn't change its nature. That dog craved to jump up on people. It craved to get that food that it was trained not to eat. We have some people in here. I thank God for your training and your character.
Amen.
I do. I'm glad of that. It's a lot easier, okay, to have good character. Because without good character, oh, the horrible things you do to yourself, okay?
Right.
Terrible things you do to yourself, okay? But don't you ever mistake that for a changed nature.
Amen.
Okay? You change that dog's nature, he won't want to eat that food on the floor. You change that dog's nature, he won't want to jump up. Okay? His nature's changed. He's not going to sit there repressed. He just doesn't want to do that. He wants to do something different. Okay? When a person gets saved, God gives them a new nature.
Right. Praise God.
That's right.
Whole new set of desires.
Yes. Praise
okay.
God.
And it's glorious. Now, Brother McVeigh said this to me when they're up there singing, and he said again, who needs reward in heaven? Now, I'm not trying to mock reward in heaven. I probably could, in a sense that people get all upset when I say this. You just have to know my life. I'm not sure I have any reward in heaven. But the reward of what God has done.
Yeah.
The reward when someone finds grace in Christ Jesus. And that whole family changes.
Amen.
Children have mamas that love them and sing the songs of Zion when they're going to bed.
Thank God.
Daddies that begin to take care of those mamas and whole families change around. Children coming into the house of God singing the songs in the back seat of the car. All these young people lined up here singing those songs. It's a glorious thing. There's not a person here that God doesn't want to do that in your life.
Exactly right.
Not a single person here. Now last night when we only had just a few people here left, because Mama Rose give him some verses to a troubled child.
Amen.
Nothing like a mama that knows Jesus Christ.
Amen.
A friend of mine by the name of Dan Harden. He ministers in Monroe, Michigan. He's from Kentucky. He talks about being a young boy, about 9, 10 years old, and his family was always the family that everybody came to their house after church on Sunday night. You know, there's always a family. Like we had the Baptists, all right? Everybody goes there on Sunday night and sits around and that. And the young boy, they put him to bed, and his bedroom was right off the kitchen. He could hear people in there talking and such and witnessing and just giving testimonies. And he lay there in his bed weeping because he realized, I don't believe what they believe. And in his mind, he said this. He said, I was weeping because really in my heart, I believe God's a liar. That's what the Bible said. Mm-hmm. I believe God's a liar. Mm-hmm. His mother came in to check on him. Saw him weeping. Sat down, showed him from the Word of God, God's love for him. Dan told me, he said, I got saved that night.
Praise the Lord.
He was going to a public school. An old redneck, he had a pickup truck as he got towards high school. And he used to take that pickup truck and open up the doors at the end of a hallway when school was letting out and preach from the back of his tailgate down the hall of that public school.
Praise God.
Okay? He'd get in trouble. He'd get mocked. But he went back to his 10th high school reunion and people come up and shook his hand. I've gotten saved.
Amen.
Gotten saved. Not delivered. No doubt in my mind that God wants to touch some young people here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, earlier, when everybody was singing, I made a mistake. Now, here's what my mistake was. Now, Miss Lydia Black, how long have you been saved now, sister?
A year
when? On the 15th, all right? Now, let me tell you something. When she first got saved, she just bubbled over. She just did. You know what she's learned in this last year? She's learned she's a pretty crummy person, haven't you? You've seen some awful things about yourself. And you walk around sometimes in heaviness and think, oh my goodness, where's Jesus in all this? It's that learning process, okay? It's that learning process.
That's good.
We got a bunch of babes in this church right now.
That's
it. We had a harvest the last couple of years. Now we got people tooting their drawers and crying and carrying on and unsure and stumbling and all that kind of stuff and going around. Oh, Lord God. You know, and I understand all that. I do. I love what Ronnie Scolton says. He says it takes me about a year and a half to get a year's Christian growth. All right? But I love that, Ronnie. I do. All right? What I loved about Miss Lydia's testimony, and by the way, Miss Lydia, Sam, take her the mic. We're not done with her. All right? But what I loved about you, and I understand, what you said exactly what I asked you to say up there. But we have some young people in here bitter with their parents. And that's part of her testimony, is what it's like to be bitter with your parents, okay? Miss Lydia, I don't want to pick on you, and God knows, but I believe God would have you to give glory to Jesus Christ right now. And if you just tell what that's like, there being a pretty little girl, and everybody would have thought, oh, what an obedient child. Your sisters knew better, but all right. But inside, weren't at all what you're supposed to be. Would you tell the young people in here what it was like being that person? God bless her.
Many years
You do that, sweetheart.
So, I was about 9 when God started dealing with me. He showed me that I was lost. I couldn't sleep because I was scared of dying, going to hell. I went to my parents.
Amen. That's right. And nobody ever needs to know what those were.
Lost. They started getting saved. It's like, well, what am I so special that he's going to wait for me to get saved?
Wait, but I believe that. That's right. Good.
I want to hear from Youth Week that year. So mad that I wasn't saved. And I took that anger out on other people around me. Got in a huge argument with Autumn and Hannah Deal. Just trying to comfort myself that I was better than what I was. Don't ask. Then, most times after services, the conviction would leave after a while, and that was fine. That year at the Youth Week, it didn't.
Amen.
Yeah.
I finally started to read my Bible pretty much every day. I had never done that before. There was times I would go through, I don't know, a religious streak or something. And, oh, I'd read it, you know, a little bit. I find very amazing the things that I read during that time that God would bring up.
That's right. That's right.
Thank you. There was one verse that I read during one of my religious lives. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Didn't want to memorize that. Don't ask me how it stuck. Read it once and it's never left.
Amen.
And there were so many times I'd get ready to do something and that verse would come to mind. But we were reading my Bible then after each week. God would work on my heart. And I didn't know what was stopping me from being saved. I went to some special services Uncle Tim was preaching. And I went into those services very, very troubled. And Uncle Tim preached the one night about how the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And I remember sitting there during the service, just like, I don't believe that I am wicked. I don't believe that I deserve to go to hell. I couldn't come up with any sins that I did. I could only come up with the ones I used to do. And I asked God that night to show me what my heart was like.
Pretty dangerous.
It wasn't like an explosion and I suddenly saw it. I left there and it was the next day on my way to market that he showed me the first thing. And I sat there just rejoicing that he was going to show me. And over the next, I don't know, week and a half, 2 weeks, how long it was, he kept showing me stuff. And I came up to October meetings last year. And he kept showing me stuff. I went home. Went to work all day. That conviction wouldn't leave. You would think after waiting on customers at least it would go away, but no, it didn't.
Thank the Lord.
I went on the way home. I was listening to a message. I don't even remember what I heard in it, what I got out of it, nothing. I just remember just being so broken over listening to it. Went home, got home. The next day, finished during school, and I was sitting there, just talking to my mom. And she brought up the fact that when we come up here, we were always so willing to help people, but at home we weren't. We weren't for our church people. And that hit me so hard. God showed me that I was bitter. I would have never told you in a million years that I was bitter. Really, I was bitter at pretty much every person I knew, but more so my family and our church people. And that was mainly because our church people would take Daddy's time away from me. Growing up, I got in trouble for just simply being fat, but the amount of times that Daddy would be stressed, dealing with something with the church, and we'd just act being stupid, being loud, and he'd yell at us, "There's nothing worse than your father yelling at you, other than God, of course, but, you know." And I would get so bitter at him because I hadn't done anything wrong in my life. And then I'd get bitter at our church people because, well, it was their fault. Because all they talked to Daddy, because when he was their pastor, you know, they have troubles that they want to talk to him about. But I get so bitter at him because I wanted. And I get bitter out of it with the fact that over just people, when you're a pastor's kid, people just watch you. Showed me that I was bitter, but broke me in a way that I never been broken before.
Amen.
I just remember I went into the living room and I was just sitting there. And I just couldn't believe that I was bitter. That was everyone else around. Everyone else was bitter. I could see bitterness in so many people. Not myself. And I was sitting in made me so mad.
Hey.
I just went running upstairs. Got my Bible. And I just laid there reading. Wherever I turned to. I turned to Exodus 21:17, I think it is. And I, for some reason, can never remember how the verse goes. And he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. I read that verse. And for the first time in my life, I saw that I deserved to go to hell for that. And that alone. All the times that I disobey my parents, not always outwardly. A lot of times, well, pretty much every time, they tell me to do something, I always had some reason, well, so-and-so should do it because they, you know, I already did this, and I have all these excuses. When really I was just rebelling.
What sisters are for.
And at that verse 23 said, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. For some reason, I always thought that you had to pray to get saved. When I read that verse, I just kept pondering it. And somehow, I believed it.
Well done. That took her a long time, didn't it? She hasn't spoken for a long time about it. But it's probably some of the most worthwhile time we've spent in a long time. Because where she is where probably the vast majority of the young people here are. By the vast majority, okay? And by the way, real quickly, now I want to do something different. We're going to go home. Miss Ashley, before you leave, we have four nursing mothers in here. Would each of you nursing mothers bring your babies up here? We're going to pray for you. Four nursing mothers.
Cares out for
them. And then we're going to go home after. We're not going to drag this out anymore. We're going to pray for the four nursing mothers. One of the most gracious things that God could ever do is give the house of God nursing mothers. Now, what I would like, every woman 50 or above, would you come here? Every woman 50 or above. We don't have a lot of you. John, you're not a woman. Oh, you're getting up for your wife. Okay. 50 or above. Would you ladies just come as close as you can, whatever way you can? You're not going to be able to touch all of them, but just Put your hands here, touching ladies 50 or above. John, we're going to do ladies. That's all right. He follows that woman everywhere. And I like that. Now, some of you come around here. You come on this side. Come on, Miss Maggie. Come around this side. Come on, Miss Garrett. Come around this side. And now, Pastor Hank, would you be so kind as to come to this pulpit and pray for those nursing mothers? And then dismiss this service.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Father. Thank you for mothers.
Yes.
Thank you, Father, for these mothers. They are precious. Precious to the church of which they are a part. Precious in your sight. How we thank you, Father, that you have granted to them the capacity to love, to care for their children. Lord, thank you for working in the mothers' lives. Grant them the wisdom and the power of your grace to raise these children in a way that brings honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for each of these ladies that have gathered around to place a hand on them, to pray in their heart as I lead in this time of prayer. God, you've been good to us.
Yes.
I thank you for each mother, Lord, that's not only sitting on a chair in front of me, but throughout this auditorium. Thank you for all that you've done. And you have promised that you will grant, dear Father, the power necessary so that these children may grow up to know what it means to be loved by their mother. Now this we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. All right, folks. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. What your mouth should say, same time, same day.
Okay.